Good evening, everyone, and welcome to services tonight. Covet your prayers. Brother Gordon called me this morning about 6:30 and said that Brother Austin has sciatica in his back and is acting up. He could barely walk, so he wouldn't be able to come today. And so he was in a scramble for trying to get a replacement for him, and you got me for tonight. So I'd like to ask you to pray for my brother and sister-in-law, Wayne's sister, Charlene. Their health is very, very poor, and they're probably going to wind up in a nursing home before much longer. Something that just come upon them very quickly, and you pray for them that they'll be able to adjust to life there, and also pray for their daughter Robin. She has multiple sclerosis, well on its way, and probably will wind up in a nursing home herself someday before too much longer. And just pray that the Lord would be with that family. They're in much need. My brother told me that the Lord had saved him when he went to the hospital, and I pray that's true. He's been very hard-headed about the Lord and serving the Lord and trusting the Lord and in many things over the years. And so you pray for him that he will learn to lean on the Lord. And I believe my niece is saved, but she knows nothing about the truth. And just pray that the Lord would direct their lives. And Charlene, of course, I believe is saved as well, and was many years ago here at this church, I believe. And so you pray for them that it's not too late to turn their lives over to the Lord, what's left of it. They're 78 years old. Robin is 51 or 2. And they need God in their lives more than they need anything else right now. So you pray for them. I want to bring your attention to Acts chapter 2, verses 46 and 47, and then 1 Corinthians 12, and then Ephesians 2. And this message tonight, lesson, message, whatever you want to call it, kind of goes along with what Brother Ryan talked about this morning about the church. But I'm talking here about slipping away from church. And that was what I titled my lesson tonight, Slipping Away. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 46 and 47, it says, "And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." And Brother Ryan pointed out this morning that the Lord is the one that does the adding to his church. We receive members, of course, through a vote of this body, but if they're truly part of us, God is the one that puts them here and keeps them here. And we do our best to do what God would have us to do. So God is the one that adds to the church. So we're added. If we're part of this body, we've been added to it by God. And that's something you need to really keep in the back of your head. This is not just some, although I've said it, you know, we function like a club on earth. In earthly terms, we function like a club. We have rules. The membership votes you in. The membership votes you out. You have to adhere to the rules or you can't be a member. And those things. But the Lord is the one that truly puts people in his churches. And spiritually, he's the one that adds them, and he's the one that takes them out. So the Lord is the one that does the adding. and the subtracting. And then in 1 Corinthians 12 and 28, it says, "And the Lord hath set some in the church." The Lord hath set them in the church. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. And he's talking about the latter things there are talking about spiritual gifts, as they're called, that were given to the apostles, I believe. So God hath set some in the church. Now we have, like I said, you know, we vote people in, and they may not have been set in here by the Lord. You know, we do our best, but the Lord is the one that truly sets people in the church, and not all the people that are members of a church here on earth are necessarily set here by Him. That's something we need to think about as well. So, and in Ephesians 2, in verses 19 through 22, it says, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God, and there are built upon, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." So we're the church, Christ's church, that He built. We're one of His churches. And we're fitly framed together. We're a work that's been put together by the Lord. Those that are set in the church, the some that are set in the church by God, are the ones that are framed together to make the church what it is. And you need to think, you need to understand that in a way makes, if you're positive this is where the Lord would have you to be a member, with no doubt in your mind, then that makes you a very important piece of this building that's fitly framed together. If a building does not have a good frame, it's not going to stand up. And if it doesn't have the right foundation, which is Christ, then it won't stand up either. So these are important points that we need to understand for realizing what our obligation is as a church member in one of the Lord's churches. So I want to go into, you know, what I've been thinking about today, and this isn't new. I mean, as far as, it's not a new thought that I had today. You know, I've been thinking about this a lot lately. So it's just the Lord has provided me a reason to write it down so I can tell it to you. And so I want to talk about, you know, this slipping away aspect here. And like I say, most of you know I've been away a lot lately. I think we were gone nearly 3.5 weeks most recently, down to visit Maris and JP and my grandchildren. And then I was called, my niece Robin called me and said she needed some help with my brother and sister-in-law. So I went down there for another 16 days and then came back through Kentucky and picked up Ruth and brought her back with me to Michigan. And then we had gone away and been down there and tried to help in February a little bit. And then we were down there last fall. I believe we were down there for 3.5 weeks. And then I had been down there earlier, I believe, or the previous year for 10 days or so when Charlene had to go into the hospital. My brother was pretty worried about her. So over the last 2 to 3 years, I've missed a lot of church here. I've missed a lot of services here. And uh, and being away from God's house and the church that God has placed me in for any length of time is taking its toll on my spirituality. And it will yours too if you flippantly just pick up and pack up and take off and go whenever you feel like it. And this loss, this slipping away, and that's why I call it slipping away, it's a gradual thing. It doesn't happen all at once. But you get distracted, and the next thing you know, I can go to church somewhere else, or I can do this, or I can do that. It's only Wednesday night. It's only Sunday night. We start making excuses because of our distractions. And we get to thinking it's okay because, well, I'm strong in my faith. I got a lot of faith, and we are, I think, for the most part, we do have a lot of faith. And we think it's not like missing a service too is going to cause me to change what I believe doctrinally. You know, I'm grounded in the faith and in the truth, and I believe the doctrines of grace and church truth and everything like that. And none of that's going to change, you know. I've learned that, and I know that, and it's part of my life, part of my personality. So, you know, missing a few Sundays here and there is not going to hurt that. And in most cases, I would say that's probably true, unless you're not one of the people that the Lord has set in here. You know, you might get wayward and go somewhere else and think, well, they got a better, I like what that preacher says better than the one, what Brother Gordon says or whatever. So we've learned and we believe, you know, that God is real and that our salvation is real and the church truth is still going to be there whether I come or not, you know. We've learned those things, and we've made them a part of our life. But our spirituality suffers. And by spirituality, that's how close we are to God on a daily basis. That's what it means to me, spirituality. That's going to suffer if you start, you know, not being here when you should be, when you need to be. And the reason I know that will suffer is because I'm suffering it right now. I've got the experience. I'm talking from experience. And you might be thinking, you know, well, when I go away on vacation, I try to find a church that I can attend, you know, whenever I'm away from home, whether it's business. I know a lot of, I remember a fella from Toledo. He was a car salesman in Toledo, and he was, I forget what church he was attending at the time, but he won some prize for salesman of the month or the year or something in a trip to Vegas. And he didn't want to take it. He didn't want to go on the trip. And he told his boss, he said, the only way I will go on that trip is if you can find me a church to attend out there. You know, I have to be able to go to church while I'm out there. And so, his boss helped him find a church, and they called around, and he checked it out, and he said, okay, I'll go, you know. But here he is, standing in front of a casino, waiting for a guy from this church to come pick him up and take him to church. And it was kind of a strange sight, and he said it was a strange sight because he's standing out there with his Bible waiting for a ride to church. So, you know, people do some strange things. I went to Las Vegas one time many, many years ago on a trip to California when my brother lived in California. And one night was enough. I had never had a desire to go back. So it's not a place I would even think about going. And I kind of wished I'd never gone there in the first place. But that's some of the things we do. So trying to find a place to go, that's a good idea. You know, it's nothing wrong with it. The problem is trying to find a church that believes exactly like you believe. And I don't think you can find another church that believes exactly everything like you believe or practice. Mostly practice. I think a lot of churches believe the basic fundamental doctrines that separate us Baptists from other types of denominations and such, but no two churches practice their services or hold their services or do things exactly the same way. Similar, but not exactly the same way. And there's nothing wrong with that. You can find independent Baptist churches, like I said, that believe doctrinally like you do. And you go there, you know, and you're in a strange place. These are strange people to you anyways. They're Baptists. They're probably a lot of them saved, everything. But, you know, it's just not home, you know. It's okay, you know, and I like the people, and they're nice people and everything. But, you know, they do this there. They do this thing there that I don't care for, you know. And so it kind of spoils, you know, the experience. You meet new people, you meet more of God's people, and you meet different ones, and it's great, you know, that you have that, but it's just that thing, you know, that something about it that's just not quite right, you know, to you. It's probably meaningless, you know, but you just don't feel quite right. Things aren't like they should be. Not that there's anything wrong. I hope I'm not saying that, you know, everyone's got to be like us, because I'm not trying to say that. But, you know, there's a difference. And I guess that's what I'm trying to say. So you try to enjoy the services and the fellowship, but all the while, like I said, it just doesn't feel right. And then some might say, well, rather than be disappointed by going to a strange church like that, it might be best just to read from my Bible and study a little and pray a little and call it good, you know, when I'm away from home. And, yeah, that's probably a good idea. You know, you'll get into God's Word a little bit and maybe get a little closer to God that way and ask Him to, you know, reveal something in the Scriptures to you. And probably most of the time, that's probably the best option for you, depending upon where you are. And I'm talking regular services. I'm not talking about like you go to a conference or you go to a revival meeting someplace or anything like that. I'm talking about your regular Sunday morning, Sunday night, midweek services, you know, when you're away from home. That's the kind of service I'm talking about. And unless you can be sure, I mean, just because a church says Baptist on the front of it, you know, there's Baptist churches. They claim to be Baptist, but they believe in the universal church. They believe a lot of strange things that are foreign to what we believe here at this church and what most of the churches that we fellowship with on a regular basis believe. So unless you're really sure of what they teach and preach at this Baptist church you found, you might be better off just not going there, you know, because you'll be disappointed. Like I said earlier, you won't enjoy it, you know, because they'll say something that you don't agree with, and it just ruins it for you. And all you can say is that, well, I tried to serve the Lord today. I tried to go to church somewhere. I tried to be in the services somewhere. And I've been to a lot of places, from the very top of the country to the bottom of it, to the East Coast, to the West Coast, and I've never found a church that is exactly like this one. They're alike in what they believe doctrinally, but the preachers are different. They're not my pastor. They have good pastors, but they're not my pastor. They have good people, but they're not my church family people. And so those are the things that make it different, okay? And not quite as enjoyable, because you don't belong there. You know, you can go, but you don't belong there. And they're happy to see you, and you're happy to see them, and you may have friends at other churches and things like that, but that's not where God has set you in. Okay? So you have, I don't know about you, but I have trouble deep in my psyche, if you will, trying to really feel at home someplace else. I enjoy the services, I enjoy the people, but it's just not where I'm supposed to be. And I've learned this. It's just not the same feeling. And when I'm away from my church, I feel out of place, but I realize too that I hinder the church by being away, because this church can't, I'm a member of this church, you know, and I need to be here, not because I'm treasurer, not because I run the PA, not because of what I do here, you know, I just need to be here as part of the body of this, because, you know, you all know that when part of your body isn't working right, you're not as capable. I mean, Brother Gordon and many other preachers have preached that from this pulpit. We need all our body parts to function properly. Yeah, you know, we get through the services and, you know, things get done, whatever the things that need to be done, they get done. But not everything gets done. Some things left are undone because people are gone, you know, and we have to. It's kind of funny because, you know, everything is just kind of automatic, you know, in our services. You know, we come and there's always ushers back there, and there's always someone running the sound, and there's always someone making the recordings, and there's always someone leading singing, and we get to taking things for granted until somebody's gone, okay? And some people pick up on it quicker than I do. You know, a lot of times when I come, I just come to enjoy, you know, being here and hearing the preaching and everything like that. And I don't look around to see who's here and who's not. And the next thing you know, it's, you know, time to receive the offering, and whoa, Dennis is gone. He's sick or something. Well, we got to get some ushers, you know, real quick, like, you know. And so when somebody's missing, it leaves a hole in the services, and it's important that we pay attention to that, and that we're here to help out and to do what we need to do. And if it's just sitting on the pew, then we need to be here to do that too. You don't necessarily have to have a job in the church to be important. And I'm not saying I'm important, because I don't feel I am at all. This is where we need to be. Because if we're not here, you know, we hinder the body. Now, I know there's times when we have to be away from our church, but we need to make very sure when we plan on being away that it's what the Lord wants us to be doing. And unfortunately, we tend to make our plans and then pray for leadership of the Lord. You know, that's kind of what I've been doing the last few years, you know. I'm planning on going here. What we're really doing is telling God that we're going to do whatever it is we plan to do unless he stops us. That's the leadership we're looking for, okay? I'm going to go to Georgia and help my brother if the Lord doesn't stop me. You know, I made that decision already. I didn't pray about it, you know. My niece called. She needed help. Okay, I'm going, unless the Lord stops me. That's not leadership of the Lord. That's defiance. And a lot of times, that's what we do. And it's more like tempting God to stop you. You know, I'm going to do this thing, so you're going to have to stop me if you don't want me to do it. Seeking the leadership of the Lord is when we truly pray, Lord, what would you have me do? Do you want me to go or do you want me to stay? You know, what do you want me to do? And then we wait upon the Lord to give us the answer. But often, we do that. We pray first, okay? And while we're waiting for the answer, we start making plans to go. And again, it gets back to, if the Lord doesn't stop me, I'm going, okay? Instead of getting that message for sure that this is what I want you to do, okay? And then make the plans to go. Be sure of what the Lord would have you to do, and then set about making the plans to do that, to go there or to be there, whatever it would be. We should not pray for leadership, like I said, and then start making plans while we're waiting for the answer. And usually when we pray about going, being away or something like that, it's more of a formality. You know, well, I prayed about it. You know, I've already decided to go, but I prayed about it. And, you know, the Lord didn't stop me, so it must be his will for me to go. That's the way we think. And I have some experience with this as well. It doesn't really relate. It's really not about being away, but it's about praying, you know, that if you don't want me to do this, stop me, kind of a thing. And this experience deals with one of the properties I bought back in, I think it was 2007 in Flint. I had this house, and I bought it in the tail end of the real estate boom. It was just before the financial meltdown of all the mortgages and everything. I bought this house, and I was going to turn it in, remodel it to a two-unit rental in that neighborhood. And I hired a contractor, and it was difficult finding a contractor that would actually work on the place, you know, that was reasonably priced to do the things. And then there was difficulty securing a mortgage on the place to have enough money to do the remodel. That was difficult, getting the finances and the insurance and everything arranged. And it just, everything was a struggle with that place. I mean, everything was a struggle. And finally, you know, I got the mortgage set, got the contractor lined up, and they went over there and worked on it one day, and somebody burned it to the ground that evening, in fact. And had I been aware, I mean, looking back, and that's what we do, you know, we experience things, and then somewhere along the line, we look back and we realize, you know, the Lord was really trying to tell me something there, you know, and I was too blinded by my ambition or my own personal whatever, because I hadn't prayed about it. I didn't seek the leadership of the Lord. He was trying to give it to me, but I wasn't paying attention. I was blinded by what I was trying to achieve on my own and just was not paying attention at all. And what happened was, like I say, it was burnt to the ground. And then, and not even at that time did I realize. It took me a few years later before I, you know, the light bulb really turned on in my head about what happened there. And God was just telling me all along the way, don't do this. I don't want you to do this. You know, you got other problems coming down the road, which I was totally unaware of because I was still working at the time. You know, I hadn't planned to retire or anything like that. You know, I knew I would soon, but anyways, I'm setting myself up with a mortgage on this house, trying to, you know, it's going to be a rental property. I didn't realize the rental market was going to go south like it is. And I mean, just all kinds of problems were on the horizon, you know, They weren't here yet, but they were coming. And who knew about them? The one that planned them. And he's trying to tell me, you know, you really don't want to do this. You know, I'm going to make it, I'm not going to give you a contractor. I'm not going to give you the money. I'm not going to set things up for you. And I, you know, circumvented all the roadblocks and made it through to the end and got started. And the Lord said, okay, got to do this the hard way. You know, I'm going to whack you in the head with a hammer. Okay, I'm going to burn the house down. And it's a little depression in the ground down there right now. There's no house, no foundation, no nothing. Okay, it's essentially a vacant lot. So I stopped you. And that's what you get when, you know, sometimes when you pray, if you don't want me to do this, stop me. And that's what he did. He stopped me. And it wasn't until years later, you know, a few years later, that I realized what the Lord had protected me from. Yeah, you know, I maybe have lost some money, but nothing compared to what I could have lost, you know, what I would have invested and how much money I would have gone through trying to maintain the property and everything like that. It was just, it was a real blessing. But it took the sledgehammer of the Lord to get through to me, if you will, on that one. So, I understand, you know, that. Not praying before you act. Not really praying before you act. Having your mind made up and then asking the Lord, you know, to help you with what you've decided to do. The Lord gives us choices. And, if you're familiar with the Bible at all, you've read many, many times, you know. The Lord has always set before his people, if you do this, I will bless you. If you do this, I will not bless you. I will cause other things to happen to you. We've been studying about David in my Sunday school class. And David was, with all the problems David had, the one thing that David always did was before he acted, he prayed about whatever someone told him. You know, you need to do this, you need to do that. And David said, well, I'm going to pray about it first. You know, he always did that. Even in his lowest times, he always prayed before he took action. And the Lord always answered his prayer in a timely manner. And he always pretty much followed what the Lord would have him to do. And there's a lot to learn there, a very good lesson to learn there. But in spite of this lesson that the Lord taught me over this house about staying close to him and one thing another, I still get away from living under his leadership. And a lot of it is just distraction. We get distracted by something. We get pulled away from him, like my niece calls and I go dashing off to Georgia to help. And without, you know, okay, let's stop for a second. Let's pray about this. Let's see what we should really do. And we take off and we run off and the next thing you know, we've missed a couple Sundays of services, a couple of midweek services, and we're deeply involved in trying to help somebody else, and we neglect the Lord, we forget to pray. We're in an environment where, you know, the people around us don't necessarily serve the Lord, and we get dragged down by them. We get pulled away from our service to the Lord when we do things like that. And we get pulled away because I'm not here. Okay, I get pulled away because I'm not here where I belong. I'm not at my home church. The church that I was added to by the Lord. The church where he instructs me through the preaching of the pastor he has given me. Where he teaches me, where he leads me in the way that he wants me to go. That's why I need to be here. Because that's where I get that information from God. This is why we need to come to church and we need to be here. This is where I must come to be fully fed by his word. This is where he has given me the pastor and the other church members that I'm part of this body, the church family. He gives me that. He wants me to learn from them and to fellowship with them. We're not here by accident. We're not here because this is a place we picked. You know, we're here because this is where God wants us. Okay? And you may think you picked this place, and you may think that we picked Brother Gordon for our pastor, but God really led us in that and put him here and put us here. And we need to understand that we're not necessarily in charge here. The Lord is. And this is where we need to come to be fed, to be instructed, to have the fellowship that we crave with other Christian people on a regular basis. And at the same time, you need to realize that this may not always be where the Lord wants you to be. You know, it wasn't until just a few years ago that I realized that. And it's another lesson the Lord taught me, was I know that this is where the Lord wants me, but he may not always want me here. He may move me somewhere else where he wants me to help or to be a member of another body somewhere. So I need to be praying, you know, continually pray for the Lord to lead me where he would want me to be and what he would want me to do. But for now, okay, I know this is where I belong. I don't necessarily know if it's where you belong, okay? That's something you have to determine between you and the Lord. You need to seek the leadership of the Lord for that. Is this where you belong? Or are you just here because this is where you grew up? I mean, I grew up here in this church. But I know when God made me a member of it, and over the years, I'm sure this is where he wanted me to be for the last however long I've been here. Okay? I know that in my heart. And you need to know that in your heart as well. Not only is this where I belong, but it's where I need to assemble with the rest of the body. I need to be here. I need that fellowship. I need that encouragement from everybody. And when you don't have that on a regular basis, if you miss too many services or something like that, I'm telling you what, it doesn't take any time at all. And the next thing you know, you're just wandering off into the weeds, you know, getting farther and farther away from the Lord. You know, the Lord doesn't change. That's something we need to understand too, you know. The Lord doesn't change. We're the ones that do the changing. We're the ones that wander away. The Lord doesn't wander away from us. We wander away from him. And we need to understand that. And going forward, you know, I intend to make a change in my life and to try and be here for all the services that I possibly can make and not try to let anything hinder me from being here. In Hebrews 10, verses 19 and 25, it says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering." That's important. You know, you need to be grounded in the truth. You need to be grounded. You need to really know that you're saved and that you're a part of this body, that God has placed you here. That's probably the two most important things you could ever do in your life. You know, make sure that you believe what you believe you believe. Sounds a little goofy, but it makes, make sure you believe what you believe. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised, and God is faithful. One of my favorite verses is in, I believe, Matthew 6. Let's see if I can find it. I didn't have it marked, but Matthew 6. Talks about Matthew 6 and verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and body more than raiment? And we need to get a hold of that. You know, there's more to here than just going after the good life. And verse 28, and why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin yet. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. God provides for us. Verse 34 says, Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Let's focus on today, okay? Let's get through today. You can't do anything about yesterday or any of the other yesterdays. That's past. You can't change it. It's done. It's over. And you don't know if you're going to wake up in the morning. You don't know if you're going to be walking out of here in the next 5 or 10 minutes. All you have is now. So focus on now. Focus on making sure you're where the Lord wants you to be. Be sure of that. Be sure of your salvation. And let us consider, verse 24 in Hebrews 10, verse 24 it says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. And that doesn't mean assembling yourself to some church somewhere else because you're away, okay? It means this place. Assemble yourself in this place. And forsake not the assembling of yourself. Just because you're away somewhere doesn't mean you get to go attend another church someplace. If you could have avoided being away, okay? And Brother Titus used to preach this, you know, why do you go on vacation on Friday? Why do you leave for vacation on Friday? Why not wait till Monday? You go to church your vacation should be from Monday to Saturday, not Friday night to Sunday night, you know, of the following week. A lot of people try to get those extra days in there, and what does it really do for you? You know, it pulls you away. It's a distraction. You're not in the Lord's church where you belong, where you've been placed, and you're not being fed. You're not getting the fellowship you need. You're not getting the spiritual leadership you need from the Lord. You're not being taught where you need to be. So, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And that's kind of what I'm doing tonight. I'm exhorting myself and you. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. The closer we get to the return of God, the return of Jesus to this earth, the more we need to be here. That's what this verse means. The day's getting closer. That day when the Lord returns is getting closer. And do we see that day approaching? Do we really see that day approaching? I do. I don't know if it's going to come in, you know, 5 or 10 years. It might be another 100 years before it happens. It could be another 1,000 years before it happens. I don't think so, okay? But it could. But nevertheless, okay, I'm going to act like it's any second, because that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be ready. We're supposed to be a watchman, looking, waiting for that day. So much the more as you see that day approaching. See the day approaching. And that day is indeed approaching. And what will that day be? I mean, not only will the Lord return, but on the run-up to the Lord's return, what are we going to be experiencing? Are we going to be allowed to assemble freely? You know, right now we can get in our car and drive over here and come to church, and we can sit here and listen to the preacher preach, and we can sing songs, and we can enjoy the fellowship. We can do all kinds of things and not have to worry about anybody knocking the door down and saying, what are you doing here? You can't assemble here. You can't do this. You can't say that. You can't do this. We don't have that right now. That's going on in the world today, just not here. We can freely assemble, but the day may come when we can't do that. And we won't be able to assemble unless we do it in secret. That's what a lot of churches used to do in Europe to avoid persecution of the Catholic Church and the governments of the day. They used to sneak off into the woods and whisper and preach. And that's why some churches, even today, they don't allow singing or instruments in their church. And it's not a doctrine. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just that's how they used to hide out. And it's a tradition that's been carried down through time. But we may get there in this country. And I'm sure that in some other countries they're already there. And if that day comes when we can't freely assemble and we can't sing songs to the Lord and we have to sneak around as Christians and literally become breakers of the law in order to assemble and worship God, the law of the land, that is. And if we're still alive on this earth, and I think we very well could be, the way things are going, we might look back with a heavy heart and lament about all the times we blew off church and didn't come because we wanted to go on vacation or we had to take a business trip. And, you know, if I leave on Saturday, I can get a cheaper airfare, and plus I get to spend an extra day at my destination before I have to go to work. I'll miss church, but, you know, that's okay. It's only, I mean, how many times do I get to go to wherever I'm going, you know, on business? We'll look back. We'll be reminded of how we just neglected, and that's all it is neglect. We didn't pray. We didn't seek the leadership of the Lord. And boy, when the day comes, we're going to wish we had done more. That we had prepared better, and that we had assembled together like we should have. In that Christian fellowship we're going to wish we could assemble together with God's people again freely without having to sneak around, and that we could have that close fellowship that we can enjoy today as church members of God, of one of God's churches, that we could come together and have a gathering or a fellowship just because we want to. You know, we can go out here and cook hamburgers in the fellowship hall and play games and talk and fellowship and just be with each other, you know. And the day may come when we can't do that. And we've chosen sometimes to not come to a fellowship for whatever reason we have. Those are opportunities that we need to take. And be with the people that we're fitly framed together with. Okay? We need to come together and do that. is there really things that are more important? You really need to ask yourself that. What is more important? Is what I want to do more important than coming to church and being with God's people and God's man and listening to God's word and singing hymns and praising his name? What could be more important than that? Really? I mean, I really ask myself that question. And quite frankly, there's nothing more important than that. There are things that hinder us and that we don't come because we feel we're hindered. But sometimes those things don't hinder us from doing other things that we think we want to do or need to do or have to do. The church is where God pours out his blessings on us. The church is where, in many cases, the members are more dear to us than our own blood kin. And that is something for me. This is my family. You people are my family. I have a brother. I have two sisters that are still alive. I have family. I have a lot of cousins and things. I don't even know who they are, that are blood kin. But you people are my family. And when I go away and neglect you, shame on me. And we thoughtlessly decide to do that. We don't even pray about it. We just do it. And then ask the Lord to stop us, if it's something he really doesn't want us to do. We really need to think about these things. I know I do. And I've the Lord's really chasing me a lot about this. And I'm not picking on anybody but me. But I just hope this will encourage you to if you need to reevaluate, then do it. Because I know I have, and I know I will be as we go forward. Brother Larry.